local alert systems. An early warning can give you the time you need to prepare for a fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, it's Fitz from the Country Top 40. And I'd like to take a moment to say thank you to my beautiful wife and all my babies and my mom and dad, because I'm so grateful for them. And even when I'm having a tough day, I have them around and everything's okay. This month is all about gratitude. And along with all those folks I just shouted out, there's another person that we don't get to thank enough, ourselves. It's sometimes hard to remind ourselves that we're just trying our best to make sense of everything. And in this crazy world, that's not easy. Here's a reminder to send some thanks to the people in your life, including yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/top40 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/top40.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. After a more than two-hour closed-door meeting of the bipartisan House Ethics Committee, members emerged mum as to whether they'll release the report on former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz had investigated allegations of sexual misconduct and illicit drug use. ABC's Jay O'Brien outside the committee room.
Two Democrats from this House Ethics panel walk out. The first was Susan Wild. She's the top Democrat on the panel. She didn't say anything. Then Glenn Ivey, another Democrat on the panel, we asked him, is there anything you can tell us? And he said no. So we do not know yet if there's been a vote on whether to release this long-going, long-compiled House Ethics report on Matt Gaetz.
Susan Smith denied parole 30 years after being convicted of murdering her two boys by rolling her car into a South Carolina lake. She was sentenced to life. The U.S. vetoing a U.N. Security Council resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza because it failed to include a requirement for Hamas to release its hostages. This is ABC News. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin in Laos asked for his thoughts on President-elect Trump's choice of Army National Guard veteran and Fox News host Pete Hegseth to lead the Department of Defense, a man who said he doesn't think women belong in combat.
I think our women add significant value to the United States military, and we should never change that. And if I had a message to answer your question to our women, I would say, I would tell them that, we need you. We have faith in you. We are appreciative of your service, and you add value to the finest and most lethal fighting force on Earth.
Secretary Austin adding women are part of the strength of the U.S. Armed Forces. More than 3 years after cinematographer Helena Hutchins was fatally shot on the set of the movie Rust, the movie premiering today in Poland. The film is being screened at a festival devoted to cinematography. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin's Office of Lawyer Regulation accuses former State Supreme Court Justice Mike Gabelman of ethical violations as part of his failed probe into the 2020 election. Law Forward filed that complaint. Chief Counsel Jeff Mandel says it's a reminder that no one is above the law.
And this complaint is the end of that investigation. It shows that they agree with that and filed 10 different counts on which he had violated those ethical duties and asks the Supreme Court to take action. We think this is a good sign for Wisconsin. This accountability is taking time. The wheels of justice move slowly.
Gableman is accused of making false statements, disrupting court proceedings, and leaking personal information of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss after their partnership in the investigation soured. The state Supreme Court will now have to decide whether any action will be taken against Gableman. Demolition is underway at Milwaukee's long-empty Northridge Mall. Mayor Cavalier Johnson Tuesday said he wants residents to understand it won't come down in a hurry.
Now, this process is going to take some time. It's expected to take through next year all the way up until the fall of 2025.
The abandoned mall has been the scene of numerous and dangerous arson fires. Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky is glad to see it go.
And so I'll end on a lighter note, and I'll steal someone else's line, and I'll say, Mr. Mayor, tear down this mall.
Johnson said once the site is cleared, it can serve as a catalyst to redevelop Milwaukee's northwest side and grow the city. Arson is not being ruled out in three early morning fires Monday in northwest Wisconsin's Sawyer County. A residence under construction and an unoccupied residence were both total losses, while a third fire damaged the Birchwood American Legion post. All three fires are being investigated by the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office and the State Department of Criminal Investigation. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The end of season sale is November 25th through the 27th at Dairy Queen of Durand. Stock up on Dilly Bars and Buster Bars. Dairy Queen of Durand will have frozen cakes on sale November 27th on a first-come, first-served basis. Steve and the staff at Dairy Queen want to say thank you for a great season. Dairy Queen of Durand will close for the season Friday, December 13th at 2 p.m. Stock up on your favorite Dairy Queen treats at Dairy Queen of Durand, where happy tastes good.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A raw November day today with increasing clouds. It'll be breezy and cold with a few scattered snow showers, a high of 37. For tonight, scattered snow showers around in the evening hours, otherwise mostly cloudy, blustery, with lows in the upper 20s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 30.
And great to have you along with us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Cenex. Long hours are the name of the game for farmers and ranchers. Cenex Premium Diesel will help you keep your equipment in the field and on the go. Choose high-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel fuel. Go to your nearest Cenex store location or visit Cenex.com for more information. Coming up here on the show today, we'll have more conversations from the NAFB convention last week in Kansas City. I talked with a lot of folks involved in agriculture at the policy level and across the industry and much, much more. Here today on the show, we're going to hear from National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue in Segment 2. In Segment 3, transportation, logistics, policy, and more with Mike Seifert, the president and CEO of the National Grain and Feed Association. And then we'll close the show with our old friend Brian Jennings from the American Coalition for Ethanol. I'm going to get an update on various ethanol biofuels-related issues post-election as well. So all of those conversations coming up here for the rest of today's program. Let's kick things off, though, and dive in with a look at the midweek market action. Joining us now, Christy Van On. She's with Van On & Company in Minnesota. Christy, good to talk with you again. Hope you're doing well.
I am good. How about you?
Doing great. Doing great. Watching a market that's feeling pretty quiet on the grains and oilseeds side here midweek. Wheat, I know, has been trying to rally with some of the Russia-Ukraine tensions. Trying to put a little green in here. Corn's been pretty flat. Soy's been under a little pressure, and I know we got some talk of a China-Brazil trade deal expected to be announced on Wednesday. One has to wonder what impact, if any, that might have in the market, soy in particular, Christy.
Yeah, I think initially, you know, you maybe saw a little bit of the selling pressure show up yesterday, today, closing off the highs yesterday. And I think, you know, you you know that information, you know that they've continued to strengthen their relationship. China's been very adamant about willing to help them even improve their infrastructure to help get them the beans to port easier. So this isn't a change. I think the issue that when I look at it, I think the biggest issue I see is it kind of takes a little bit of bargaining power away from us when it comes to if we go down that path of another trade war. So if we go down that path of another trade war where you're asking them to do things, they have the ability to say, hey, you know what? We're not going to participate in this because they have strengthened their relationships with Brazil. Not only that, the potential for a ginormous crop is on the way for Brazil. It is so early in the planting season. They're just wrapping up planting right now. So, I mean, I think, you know, you can get ahead of yourself saying that they're going to have a big crop, but part of the reason they're going to have a big crop is the sheer acreage that they are planting. So that makes it really difficult to knock down production a ton when it's more acreage versus yield being the one that's driving production so high. So even if we saw a pretty sizable slash to the production side of Brazil, you're looking at a very big crop. The carryout levels around the world for soybeans, we are flooding the world with soybeans right now, and it's not pretty. And so I think that's my biggest fear, is that China would have that relationship with Brazil kind of set firm and confirmed and have that potential of production there to say, hey, right now at this point, I'm not willing to work with the U.S. and buy these agricultural products. So who knows what could happen? Sometimes I feel like soybeans are getting ahead of themselves with all the negative action they have prior to Trump administration, just the fears that are out there. I think, you know, you saw some liquidation when he came in here and put Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. Marco has been very adamant and very against China his whole career. And I believe he's even sanctioned by China that he can't even be in China. I have to look up that, but I'm pretty sure that's still in effect. And so I just think those little things put a little bit of fear in the market, and you're having it. But overall, I think the big thing influencing the market right now is that we really need to have some sort of production hiccup happen in South America, and we're just not seeing that.
I know as well, export business continuing to come to the U.S., sales of beans to China and unknown on Wednesday morning. So going to continue to watch that. Corn exports have remained fairly robust as well. In terms of the cash markets and spreads and basis, though, Christy, talk about what you're seeing there. Quarter bean basis in particular has looked pretty good here as of late, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think you really saw that initial selling pressure and then from harvest delivery space issues. And then after that, I really think that farmers are like, I am not selling here. I just think that they are adamant that they think that these prices can go higher. And the writing was kind of on the wall here. Back in the summer, late summer, we talked to quite a bit of end users, elevator managers, and they had a fraction of what they needed booked at the time. And so I think that what they're doing is they're just trying to play catch up to get to where they need to be as far as those bookings. And they got a chunk of it done at harvest. We saw that initial widen out of basis. Some areas and some locations went cash only. But then now they're coming in here and saying, okay, now we really got to work for this moving forward, because until we get to February, you really don't have a reason for this producer to sell unless he's happy with the price. And from the general consensus I get from farmers, it's got to go a lot before they're happy with the prices. And so I think you're putting that work together. The carries in the market have really kind of shrunk here. 20.5 cent carry from Dease corn to July. And at one point, I think that was 37, 38 cents when we were rolling out some contracts. And it just is disappointing because we continue to hit this 433 level off December futures. And that seems to be stopping the market. But every time we hit it, it seems like those deferred contracts aren't as high as they were the last time December hit 433, which makes it a little bit tricky to do some marketing. But it seems like corn is extremely range trade and that the spreads really want to be that main focus, even when you're looking at the bean market as well. And I think the time will come. I just think that if you're sitting here and saying, hey, I want to generate some cash flow before the end of the year, I would not fall asleep on this basis opportunity, because I do think even what's posted isn't their best bid. I think you could even get a better one, because I do think this elevators, the end users want a little bit more booked by the end of the year.
Christy, we got a minute. Any notes over in the livestock trade that we should be watching here this week?
You know, it's been pretty quiet. We had that big push yesterday into the futures market. Cash continues to remain strong. There is some separation between choice and select cutouts that have been gaining our attention. But for the most part, when you see this choice cutout being pushed, you see the cash being firm. Futures seem to be hanging in there. And I think you're also just doing a really good job of saying, hey, if this stock market wants to stabilize, we've had a little bit of a pullback. But initially, if we want to see this really succeed, and we think that it can, I think that support's going to continue to hang around. My biggest concern with the cattle markets is just the fact that seasonally they do tend to kind of drop off here. But if cash remains strong, I think you're going to see that follow through.
Christy, if folks want to reach out for a conversation there at Van On & Company, how can they get in touch?
You can call us at 1-800-648-5494.
And they can find you online too, vanonco.com. Christy Van On, she's with Van On and Company. Thank you for joining us on AOA. Good to talk with you again. And if I don't talk to you beforehand, have a happy Thanksgiving, all right?
You too. Thanks, Jesse.
Christy Van On, she's with Van On and Company, joining us here on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Up next, we'll head back to the NAFB convention in Kansas City last week, where I talked with Rob LaRue of the National Farmers Union. Back with more right after this.
Tearing up asphalt, concrete, and soil is a dirty job. What fuels me to get it done? Big crews and big toys. What fuels my equipment? Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, a premium diesel fuel with an additive package that's 2.5 times more effective in preventing injector deposit buildup, delivering the power I need in the dirtiest conditions. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, fueled by innovation, powered to perform.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues here today, brought to you by Cenex. And as a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Choose Cenex premium diesel and lubricants to keep you going and manage the risk on your operation. Partner with your local experts. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more information. Well, we're going to listen into more conversations from the NAFB convention last week in Kansas City, Missouri. We talked with so many folks throughout agriculture, a lot of discussion focusing on post-election, farm bill, and much more, ethanol policy, et cetera, a lot of different things. Well, one of the conversations I had, I caught up with Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union. Now, this, of course, was ahead of the release of farm bill text by Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow on Monday. After the release of that text and after our interview, President LaRue made a statement saying in part, quote, "Our priority for family farmers and ranchers remains steadfast. Congress must pass a strong, comprehensive five-year farm bill before year's end. A farm bill provides certainty and stability farmers need, including a strengthened safety net, disaster assistance, robust investments in conservation, and measures to help farmers compete more effectively. While significant work has been done by the House and Senate Ag Committees, leaders at the highest levels in both chambers must now make passing a strong, comprehensive five-year farm bill their top priority before the year ends," end quote. Now, we allude to the farm bill work that needs to be done and other topics in our conversation. Let's listen back as I talked with National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue at last week's NAFB convention in Kansas City. Rob, good to see you in person. I know we just talked a couple weeks ago, and my oh my, things have changed the landscape of ag politics and more just in a matter of a couple of weeks, Rob.
Yeah, good to visit with you again, Jesse. And is the expression, I've got a face for radio. Good to be with you here in person. And we certainly have a few things on the agenda right now.
Absolutely. Well, we know who's in the White House come January as President Trump getting reelected to a second term. And looking at the rollout of his cabinet, we're seeing this, you know, by the minute names are being announced, and we have a few names out there for certainty. It's say EPA, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know Secretary of Ag yet, but just looking at this 1,000-foot view here, we got plenty of ag issues that we got to tackle. What are your thoughts on a new Trump administration coming in here, Rob?
Well, I think we expected that Trump and this new administration would hit the ground running, right? A lot of the folks around his team have a great deal of experience at this now. And so they certainly claim that they have no time to waste, and they want to try to get their cabinet filled out as quickly as possible. What we've already seen with some of the nominees that have been put out there is that you have folks who are trying to respond to what they feel is the message from voters, that they want reform, they want changes. And so as we look at EPA and other places, I think that's going to be a theme that we continue to see. Within ag, it's actually a little bit of an interesting game because we now have well over a dozen names that I think are being kind of scattered around there. I think it's really a guessing game at this point. There's a lot of differences between the experience that they bring and what agenda they might have. So I think for farmers, there's still a big question about what USDA is going to look like. But you really hit it in saying that farmers and ranchers have things they need to get done now. We have this farm bill that we've been talking about for way too long. And unfortunately, it's not finished yet. I think it's going to be a super heavy lift to get that done by the end of the year. But you know what? Farmers and ranchers believe that we can't afford not to get it done right now.
Well, and I'm glad you bring that up. I've had this conversation with a few folks. I said, you know, the lame duck session of Congress here, we got about 20 some days where we have to get appropriations done. We have to defense authorization, I believe. Farm bill's hanging out there. I mean, the prospects of getting this done before the end of the year seem very slim. It seems like we'll get another extension, and then the new Congress is going to take up this farm bill issue. But, I mean, are you hearing anything different? Is there still a chance that we could get something done before the end of the year here, Rob?
I think we have to keep pushing, because if we stop pushing, we know that the chance of getting this done in a lame duck session is zero. We know that the pressure is great. We know that there's a lot of competing issues out there, but we've got to keep the pressure up. Farmers and ranchers have a ton of stress out there. We have the disasters that we're dealing with. We have price issues, and we have the uncertainty of a farm bill out there. What I worry is that we might end the year with not only the lack of a five-year farm bill, but maybe even the lack of a further extension, which just puts uncertainty into next year.
Well, that's a great point, too. If we don't get an extension, I mean, we're going to go back to price levels and supports, 1940s, I believe. Am I saying that right?
You know, this so-called permanent law, it used to be actually one of the threats that was with members of Congress that forced them to try to get the five-year farm bill done. We've bumped up against that in the years past, and unfortunately, while there are some things that go into effect in a few months when we don't have a farm bill, when it lapses, that threat is pretty weak at this point, I would argue. And unfortunately, I think inaction by Congress right now is just leaving the farmers and ranchers at a loss.
Rob LaRue with the National Farmers Union joining us here on the program today. Outside of farm bill, obviously such a huge topic. Other issues, though, the NFU is watching and thinking about a new administration coming in. Does that change the way you guys look at some things, some other things you're watching? I mean, what else is out there you're paying attention to right now?
Yeah, so we know that next year the agenda is going to be pretty massive and I think very aggressive for President-elect Trump and his team. And Congress has certainly talked about tackling things like expiring tax cuts,
yes,
that are out there. So that certainly has a lot of impact on farmers and ranchers out there. We'll be tracking that very carefully. Some provisions in there that have, you know, the potential to either help or hurt farmer-owned cooperatives. There are a lot of those provisions that we're going to be looking at in the new year. Certainly, if we are seeing some regulatory reform in areas like EPA or USDA, et cetera, we'll be tracking that as well. But transition. It is all about transition right now. And as we see new leadership being elected in the House and the Senate, that's where we're going to be putting a lot of attention to make sure that they understand what farmers and ranchers, family farmers and ranchers really need out there. And whether it's making sure that we have tax policy that mm-hmm. is going to benefit them, making sure that we have programs that provide relative safety for them, making sure that we have fair and competitive markets. Mm-hmm. These issues that are still out there, like farmers not being able to repair their own equipment,
yes,
issues around there about the mergers and the consolidation in agriculture, those are things that have been with us for a few decades. We've made a little bit of progress, and we have bipartisan support. So those are the other issues that Farmers Union is going to be pushing as we get into the new year.
You bring up right to repair, and I wanted to ask you this, too. I know in other areas, not ag-related, that President Trump has indicated in the past that he likes to leave the issue up to the states. That's where we're at currently, is we have, you know, a few states that have right to repair laws on the books, while many don't. Are you concerned that he could continue to leave that issue up to the states moving forward?
Well, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I do think that right now, given the reluctance by some of the farm equipment manufacturers to truly give free rein for farmers to be able to either repair their own equipment or seek independent repair and make sure that they can get those repairs done quicker and more cost effective. I think that whether it's trying to get a patchwork of right to repair across the country and so forth, we still have the opportunity for these farm manufacturers to actually step up and be honest about this and truly make right to repair effectively the law of the land. Mm-hmm. With automobiles, it wasn't that many years ago that there was a threat from the auto industry that was going to limit right to repair and require everybody to take their automobiles back to the dealer. Back to the dealer to make sure that they get that repair and really limit any ability for folks to work on it themselves or take it to an independent mechanic. Mm. Can you imagine? Massachusetts passed a law that gave automobile owners the right to repair. The industry said, you know what? We get it. We're going to back off. We still have that opportunity here with the farm equipment manufacturers. They've signed some MOUs in the past. They've made some promises. Now we just need them to actually make that true.
A lot of issues to watch moving forward. No doubt we'll stay close with you and the National Farmers Union on those. Rob LaRue with the National Farmers Union. Good to see you here in Kansas City. Thanks for joining us on the show today. Appreciate it.
Good to see you, Jesse.
Once again, talking last week at the NAFB convention in Kansas City, Missouri, with National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue. AOA brought to you by Cenex. Cenex trusted local experts can help you find the right lubricant product or premium diesel that'll protect your operation on the go each and every day. Visit your nearest Cenex store location or go to cenex.com for more information. We'll continue our conversations from the NAFB convention. We talked transportation, farm bill, and much more with Mike Seifert, the president of the National Grain and Feed Association, last week in Kansas City. We'll hear that conversation coming up next here on AOA. Back after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
FBN is always working to do more for family farms. And now, through December 13th, FBN Cyber Days means even more. More options, more offers, and more spending power with 0% financing and up to 9% off with our cash payment discount. Plus, pricing deals like Willowwood Glyfo 5 as low as $12.97 per gallon when you pay cash. Take more control of next season during FBN Cyber Days. Visit fbn.com/save today. Terms and conditions apply.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. December milk up 21 to 1917. January up 12 to 1903. February up 14 to 1920. March up 27 at 1943. Meanwhile, live cattle markets were mostly mixed on the day as traders needed to see follow-through fundamental support before they would advance the contracts again. Now, while feeder cattle low did turn mostly higher, even though the trade still needs to see some fundamental support, a bit of short covering in that feeder cattle market. Hog markets mostly higher as higher pork cutout values encouraged traders to bid futures higher. December live cattle down 27 cents to 186.30. November feeder cattle up 55 cents to 254.80. December hogs up 97 cents to 80.52. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly higher on the day as the weekly export sales reports expected to be from 750,000 to 950,000 metric tons tomorrow. Soybeans, meanwhile, mostly lower as product action was soft and few weather worries for South America, while wheat futures moving mostly higher back to nearby resistance levels as the dollar, though, is still limiting the upside potential. December corn up 3 to 4.30 and a quarter. January beans down 8 to 9.90 and a half.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan.
Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
All right, once again, we are talking with Tyler Schau from AgMarket.net here today on the show. We'll take a look at the corn market as well as livestock trade, especially a strong day in cattle on Tuesday. We'll get to that part of our conversation coming up here after the break. A few of the closes on Tuesday: December corn down 2 at 427 and a quarter. March corn down 2 at 437 and three quarters. Soybeans January down 11 and a quarter, 998 and a half. March beans down 10 and a half, 1008 and a half. Bean meal December down $1.70 a ton, 288.60. Bean oil December down 68 points, 44.84. Chicago wheat December up 2.5, 549 and three quarters.
Mike,
December,
how Kansas are City. You? It's good to see you.
Oh, good. Good to see you in person, Jesse.
Absolutely.
We're always on the phone.
We do this on the phone or online or whatever the case is all the time, and so it's good to connect with you in person. It just makes a conversation that much better.
Absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely.
And we have plenty to talk about, of course. The running topic, it feels like, here at the convention this year, of course, is post-election. What do things look like now moving forward? Trump administration 2.0. Obviously, we need a new farm bill still. Prospects in the lame duck, pretty slim. I guess let's just start there. Fallout from the elections, looking ahead here through the lame duck and into the new Congress. And GFA's perspective, where do things stand right now?
Well, you know, I think as we look at coming out of the elections, a couple of things. I think, you know, we've had a good working relationship with the current administration, and we had a really good relationship with the first Trump administration, and I expect that we will have the same with this one. And I think, you know, we've got a pretty good relationship with the Hill, particularly with the ag committees. Obviously, we've had a good relationship over the years with Senator Chairwoman Stabenow, and, you know, I served as a staff director for Senator Roberts with her, but she's retiring, but it looks like the rest of the leadership will be back. You know, Mr. Thompson, Chairman Thompson's name has been mentioned for secretary, but assuming he's back, and Ranking Member Scott in the House, and now Chairman Bozeman in the Senate, and we anticipate probably Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota. So I think, you know, that relation, I think in terms of the relationships that we've had and that we're going to have, I think we feel pretty good about that. And I think also, all three of the nominees for leader, or the candidates for leader in the Senate, would have been great leaders. But obviously, Mr. Thune's from South Dakota. He's someone who's been on the Senate Ag Committee for a number of years, House Ag before that. And I do think there's a lot of excitement in the ag community that, in a way, you know, folks kind of feel like, hey, it's one of our guys that's in there. It's someone we all know. And so I think folks are pretty excited about having a soon-to-be now leader Thune in that position from an ag perspective.
Well, and I think about this with the farm bill. I know the prospects are slim in the lame duck, and so if we look at the next Congress to get a new farm bill done, you know, those folks you mentioned. But I wonder, too, that, you know, is there maybe going to be some urgency, a lot of things to get done in the next 2 weeks, but could Senator Stabenow, for instance, want to try and get this farm bill over the finish line here before the new Congress takes effect? I mean, does it even seem possible at this point?
I think it's certainly possible that she could want to do that. You know, I will say, as somebody who, I think this is going to be my sixth or seventh farm bill I've worked on now, and worked on several on the Hill and on the committee, farm bills are hard.
Yeah.
And just the timeline you're talking about trying to get this done, doesn't make it any easier. You know, if they want to get it done, I think they will, but it's going to be really hard at this point. And you've seen comments just in the last 24 hours or so. I've seen come out this morning that Chairman Thompson, I saw, and I also saw Ranking Member Bozeman both say, you know, we want to get it done, but it looks like we're heading towards an extension. And I think part of that's probably going to tie in to, you know, the feeling that we seem to be getting, the sense we seem to be getting, is that they're looking at extending the government funding on out further into 2025. You know, we're here in March, or even for the full fiscal year. And, you know, the sense seems to be that they're going to extend a lot of these things and probably not spend a lot of time legislatively, and that the new president coming in wants to kind of have their mark. And so it's not definite that that's where we're going, but that seems to be where the signals are pointing, and it has felt more to me, just the comments I've seen in the last 24 hours, that that's, it feels like that's the direction that we're heading.
Absolutely. Mike Seifert, National Grain and Feed Association, joining us. What about the talk of tariffs? Is there concern at NGFA that we could see some of this type of trade policy with the incoming administration?
You know, obviously, trade and open markets is a big part of our mission at NGFA and for National Grain and Feed, and for moving commodities on behalf of our members and that producers are growing. And so, obviously, trade is important. And I think, you know, there's questions regarding potential tariffs, what those are going to look like. I think also, you know, we've had a previous administration where we've dealt with them. A lot of the tariffs that were put in place didn't come off in this administration. So I think, you know, the perspective our membership is taking at it, obviously we're talking about the importance with the incoming administration of ag trade. But, you know, there's a couple of things I think we're suggesting. One would be, hey, let's go back and dust off phase one.
Mm-hmm.
There's still some things there that had been agreed to and that had been worked on that I think we could still have some success on and do that. And, you know, what I've heard the incoming president talk about and a lot of folks who were either on his previous team or on his transition team have talked about, if there are tariffs, it's going to be leverage. And so is it leverage to get some more action on that phase one agreement? Is it a way to address some of the issues we've had with Mexico on biotech corn, on some of the rail issues that we've had?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a way to address some of the issues with Europe from the EUDR perspective? And so I think, obviously, the incoming president has his views, has his position. Rural America voted with him by about 75%. And so I think, is there some nervousness? Yes. But I think there's also a lot of us who are trying to think about now, okay, new approach, new president. So how do we work with them again to leverage, to get maybe progress in some areas that we've been struggling with for a while with some of our foreign markets?
Should wrap up with logistics, rail, rivers, trucks. I know we've had rail issues on both sides of the border, the U.S., Mexico, Canada, and here at home too, with wait times and stuff in the past, and rivers have had issues with the Mississippi, et cetera. What's your thoughts here logistics-wise post-harvest?
You know, post-harvest, I think from a rail perspective, as you talk to our members, obviously you always have pockets in parts of the country where you have issues. I think if you went out and pulled most of our members, they would tell you, from a rail perspective, this has probably been one of the better harvests we've had in a couple of 3 years. You know, we had the Canadian rail issue. That seems to be getting sorted out. The big challenge we're still having is in Mexico and being able to, and not with the U.S. carriers, but with the Mexican carrier we have to transfer to, being able to get those slots to get them across the border and then get those trains back. And I think the frustration that we have had and that our members have had is that it seems to be only U.S. ag shipments that have been singled out for these embargoes. It's it's not other sectors of the U.S., not saying that we want others to have to deal with it either, and it's not shipments coming out of Mexico. It's only ag exports going in to Mexico, and so that's certainly something we've been talking with the Mexican Railroad about. FXE, which is the Mexican Railroad, is going to be at our country elevator conference speaking in about 3-4 weeks. But it's also something we're talking with about to the current administration, the transition team of the incoming administration, and the Mexican government. And so we're hoping because we have seen it cause delays into the interior in terms of not being able to move trains, causing some storage issues for some members, or rippling through the system, and you can't get a shuttle back from Mexico, so now you can't get it out to the PNW.
Mm-hmm.
So we're continuing to work on that. Obviously, water issues. Water continues to be low. It continues to be a challenge. I guess if there's any silver lining to it, it's the third year our folks have had to deal with it, and so they've kind of figured out how to handle it, so to speak. Doesn't mean they like it. Doesn't mean we don't want it fixed. But what I think the continued water issues continue to show us, too, is the importance of
One of the other pieces of legislation that's still held up, and we still have some hope for in the lame duck, is the Water Resources Development Act authorizations, lock and dam upgrades, river dredging. We think that continues to be important. I'll also be honest and say, if there's one area on the rivers where we've had disagreement with the current administration, it's probably been their approach to the dams on the Columbia Snake River system.
Yes.
And possibly setting the stage to take those out. We think that would be devastating for ag, not just in the PNW, but back into the U.S. interior. A lot of beans, a lot of corns, a lot of wheat go out through that area. And I would say that is one area that we're hoping maybe with the new administration, maybe we can get them to take a new look at that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Country Elevator Conference, you mentioned it. Real quick, give us a plug. A few of the details there, if you can.
December 10 to 12 here in Kansas City. About 500, we usually have 500 to 600 folks at it. We'll be taking a look at the economic outlook, a post-election analysis. Mentioned we'll have FXE there, and we'll also be taking a look at kind of some of the upcoming weather outlooks for the coming year. And then we're going to have breakout sessions on a number of issues related to labor, 45Z, obviously something a lot in the industry are waiting from guidance on. And so one of our premier conferences of the year, and I think we got a great agenda, and we're, like I said, we're looking forward to being back here in KC in a little less than a month.
Absolutely. NGFA.org for more information. Mike Seifert, National Grain and Feed Association. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us here on the program. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. Always appreciate it.
Once again, talking with Mike Seifert from NGFA at last week's National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. AOA is brought to you by Cenex. Maximize your ROI on your farm with bulk diesel fuel storage from Cenex. Talk to your local experts or go to cenex.com for more information. We're not done. Coming up next, we're going to hear a conversation I had with Brian Jennings from the American Coalition for Ethanol at last week's NAFB convention. That's next here on AOA.
Point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm at a smoothie bar, asking people if they'd switch smoothies with me for $574.
Oh, I'll switch.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
That's a headache.
Nope, it's painless.
Oh, so it's easy money.
Yep, check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
FBN is always working to do more for family farms. And now, through December 13th, FBN Cyber Days means even more. More options, more offers, and more spending power with 0% financing and up to 9% off with our cash payment discount. Plus, pricing deals like Willowwood Glyfo 5 as low as $12.97 per gallon when you pay cash. Take more control of next season during FBM Cyber Days. Visit FBN.com/save today. Terms and conditions apply.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers, in their fields and around the world. To build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Agriculture is a busy job and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we continue, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location. They'll have the right products for your equipment on your operation, or go to Cenex.com for more. Final conversation for today's show from last week's NAFB convention in Kansas City. We talked with Brian Jennings from the American Coalition for Ethanol. Let's listen to that conversation right now on AOA.
Brian, it's good to see you. How are you?
I'm great, Jesse. Good to see you too.
Well, I'm sure you've been getting a lot of this question, and I'll start with this one as well. The obvious, we're post-election now. What does Trump administration 2.0 mean for ethanol, biofuels, et cetera, et cetera? I think there's maybe some things we could learn from the first go around that we could see in the second go around here. But I guess just that 1,000-foot view for you, now that we have some election certainty, what does it mean for ethanol?
Yeah, I think for ethanol overall, it's positive. I think, you know, the first thing I'm encouraged by when it comes to a Trump 2.0 administration is, instead of an EPA that seems singularly focused on promoting electric vehicles and overlooking some of the benefits of ethanol, we're hopefully going to have an EPA that understands the valuable role that liquid fuels play. That a higher octane fuel like ethanol plays, that flexible fuel vehicles can play. And so from a sort of a 30,000 foot standpoint, I think we can work with a Trump 2.0 administration to secure a stronger future for liquid fuels. It benefits both fossil fuels, which is going to be important politically to President Trump, and ethanol, which is also politically important to President Trump, and try to achieve something that's win-win instead of forcing electric vehicles down sort of the throats of Americans. So from a broad standpoint, I'm looking forward to that. I'm concerned about some of the history with small refinery exemptions under the renewable fuel standard. Both EPA administrators in the first Trump administration, Scott Pruitt and Andy Wheeler, you know, really did some damage to the RFS relative to small refinery exemptions, and it forced ourselves and others to go to court to try to rectify things. Unfortunately, things are still sort of bogged up in the court system. But when it comes to former Congressman Lee Zeldin of New York, who has been nominated or will be nominated to lead EPA, we have some serious questions that we need to have asked of him, right? Why did he oppose the RFS as a member of Congress? Maybe it was because he represented Long Island and he was misled about what the RFS is and isn't. But this will be incumbent upon Republican senators, particularly because they're in control during his confirmation process, in the one-on-one meetings they have with him, Jesse, and in the confirmation hearings, to ask the tough questions of former Congressman Zeldin about the RFS and E15.
Very true. And I think I share some of those same concerns with you as we see his nomination. And I think about this, too, with Lee Zeldin leading EPA, we presume. I know renewable volume obligations, we got those we got to figure out, and that's going to be done under this administration, we presume. And so there's another piece, along with the SREs you mentioned, that there's some important policy here and some different things that we really need to keep an eye on.
You're so right. The clock is ticking on the RFS. We need to know the RVOs for 2026 and 2027. The Biden EPA was supposed to put out a proposal. They punted.
Yep.
And so now this responsibility falls in the lap of the Trump EPA. And if Mr. Zeldin is confirmed, you're right. One of the first orders of business is to put out volume obligations for 2026 and we presume for 2027. And so we've got to engage with him. And as I said, allies in Congress to sort of get us in a position where we think we can do well.
Brian Jennings with ACE joining us here as we talk ethanol post-election. What about, let's talk E15. We saw the news out of California with Governor Newsom, you know, his mandate to CARB, the California Air Resources Board. We know California, of course, the final state that doesn't have E15. But wondering, too, what about a nationwide fix for E15 year-round, that sort of thing? Can we see that through Congress, through a farm bill potentially? What's the latest there?
First on California, it's important because not only is it the only state that's holding out, it's the largest gasoline market in the country, and so they could still blend a lot of ethanol if they move to E15, so we're hopeful they do. On Congress and legislation to allow for E15 nationwide, I think we have a serious opportunity, Jesse, with a new Congress, a Senate led by John Thune of South Dakota, a champion of agriculture, a champion of ethanol, a co-sponsor of legislation to allow E15 year-round. I think we have a real opportunity to tee things up. Maybe in the lame duck, there are opportunities as well. But, you know, I think the primary obstacle to this legislation has been Senator Tom Carper, Democrat of Delaware, chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee in the Senate. He's sort of prevented our legislation from moving forward. And so we may try in the lame duck, but I think we're going to likely have better prospects in a new Congress led by John Thune, particularly in the Senate. And that will have to be our top legislative priority. 8 Midwest states will be good to go, but the rest of the country needs a solution as well.
Any other thoughts, anything else you're watching here as we wrap up the year, look to next year, when it comes to the ethanol, biofuels industry, what's on your mind, Brian?
The other thing is really that 45Z clean fuel production tax credit, Jesse. The Biden Treasury has not put out any guidance whatsoever. This tax credit is supposed to kick in on January 1st. It's looking more and more likely that responsibility will be handed over to the Trump administration. So many questions. Will the Trump administration sort of put a pause on all rulemaking to sort of get a handle on things? That's a normal operating procedure, which would have the unintended consequence of delaying that even further. Not really their fault. The Biden Treasury hasn't put out rules, but we want common sense agriculture practices to qualify for that tax credit. We've been working toward that end. And then the other thing relative to that, Jesse, the final thing I will say is that the Trump tax cuts expire in 2025.
Yes.
A Republican Congress will use the reconciliation rules to extend those tax credits. And that will be a vehicle for us to try and do certain things, particularly as it relates to the 45Z Clean Fuel Production Tax Credit, perhaps extend the life of it beyond 2027. So that's also on our radar.
Once again, a conversation with Brian Jennings for the American Coalition for Ethanol last week at the NAFB convention in Kansas City. We're out of time on AOA, brought to you by Cenex of Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his...
Wouldn't you like to stop feeling self-conscious about your receding hairline or thinning hair? Millions of men and women around the world trust Hair Grow from New Nordic as an effective way to get thicker-looking hair. Ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens or shop online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Price is much lower than a grocery store. With the lowest prices for...